Happy Wednesday, everybody. Andrew Crystal with you. Thank you, Peter. You see, one of the reasons why Peter Mansbridge is a great Canadian is that he is also a great Leafs fan. And I was sorry to hear that he has some Montreal Canadiens fans on his broadcast. We know that Montreal Canadiens fans are entitled and narcissistic. Many of them have bowel disorders. Can't stand the bastards. But anyway, Peter and I put up with you Montreal Canadiens fans, but the real team, God's team, the Toronto Maple Leafs, of course, play tomorrow. And Peter and I celebrate that. And we'll be emailing each other throughout the game. But I am sorry to report today that is the end of the levity. Some very difficult news came through, folks. And you know, whether it's in your own home, with your own family, with your neighbors, extended family, friends, and society at large, you can't solve a problem without first illuminating it, without shining the light of knowledge on the problem. If you don't know it's there, you're not going to find a solution. If you don't admit it's there, you're not going to deal with it. And COVID has been kind of a fog over all of us, hurting businesses, locking us down. But as you know, disease doesn't stop. And there are other diseases out there besides COVID. Today we learned that opioid-related deaths surged just in the province of Ontario alone, but of course across this country, after the COVID-19 pandemic hit in 2020. 2,050 people dying between the months of March and December, according to a report released today. The report today, entitled Changing Circumstances Surrounding Opioid-Related Deaths in Ontario During the COVID-19 Pandemic, found that 1 in 6 of the deaths occurred among people experiencing homelessness, but not just the homeless. The deaths were logged between March 16, 2020 and December 31st, 2020. We're getting the report now. And since the report, things are only getting worse. There were only 1,162 opioid-related deaths in the same period in 2019. So the deaths, which happened every day, opioid-related deaths, are on the increase, significantly so. Researchers say 139 folks died of opioid-related overdoses in February 2020 before the province declared a state of emergency. They say the number of deaths ballooned in December 2020 to 248. It was the highest monthly opioid-related death toll ever recorded in the province of Ontario. And it's just as bad in every single province where you can hear my voice. It's just as bad in every state of the USA where you can hear my voice. Opioid-related deaths from fentanyl are outrageously bad. Here's a shocker for you folks. The biggest employment sector where deaths occur as a result of opioids is with construction workers. Construction workers, that sector is the hardest hit during the opioid crisis. And the man joining us now to discuss this decries the opioid crisis and calls it the other pandemic, something that we need to be aware of. Phil Gillies is the executive director of the Ontario Construction Consortium, and he's here to share his concern over the shocking opioid deaths across this country, and particularly in Ontario, where this has greatly impacted the construction sector. Thank you so much, Phil Gillies, for taking the time to join us today. What do you make of this shocking new report out this morning?
Well, first of all, thank you, Andrew, for having me on to discuss this very important issue. So I'm still digesting. I think we all are. There's a lot of data that came out with this morning's report, which comes from the Ontario Drug Policy Research Network, based at St. Michael's Hospital, and also the office of the chief coroner. And okay, top line, I mean the numbers are staggering. There are a lot of statistics there, but to make it as simple as possible, in 2019, before COVID, the whole year of 2019, about 1,500 Ontarians died from drug overdoses. In 2020, most of that year, of course, taken up with COVID, that skyrocketed to around 2,500 people. 2,500 people dead. Now, that's an increase year over year between 19 and 20. That's an increase of well over 60%. So we as a society, we as a community have to be concerned about this right across the board. And we can talk about any number of aspects of that. But we're particularly concerned in the construction industry because we started hearing some time ago that the industry that was hardest hit by this, the workforce that was hardest hit by this, was in the construction industry. So the Centers for Disease Control in the States started talking about this as far back as January, February. I talked to the worldwide president of the Carpenters Union and said that we would start looking at the situation in Canada. And we found there were reports in specific communities. So we read a report from Island Health in British Columbia, in which they said their information at their local clinics was that construction workers were disproportionately hit hard by this crisis. We also heard it from a clinic in London and one in Ottawa. But today we now have comprehensive statistics. I'm just looking at them right now. And it shows that of the people who overdosed and died who were employed, 30% of them worked in the construction industry. So that's higher than any other sector. That's followed by a category called other services, which would include any number of support services and so on. The retail trade accounted for about 15%, transportation and warehousing around 15%, but 30%, almost a third of the people who died came from the construction industry. So it's a big issue for us.
Why is the construction sector hit harder than any other employment sector with regards to the opioid crisis?
Well, the report doesn't go into sort of root causes, but I can well guess what's happening here. Construction is very physical work. It's hard work, and people get injured. And when they go to the doctor with their injuries from the workplace, they are very often prescribed painkillers, and these painkillers are usually opioids. Some people get hooked on these. When the prescriptions run out, they may go to the street to continue to get some form of pain relief. And the street drugs now are fentanyl. And it's this fentanyl, which is an extremely strong opiate. It's a deadly drug if used improperly. And when people are buying on the street and they buy a drug that they may not know the fentanyl content in it, they can easily overdose and die. Beyond that, we know that across the board, mental health and addiction issues have greatly increased during the pandemic. People are worried. They're nervous. It's playing havoc with people's lives. The shutdowns, the isolation, the stay-at-home orders are leading to an increase in mental health and addiction problems across the board. So that's also impacting our sector of the economy and construction.
So I want the folks to know that a lot of healthcare professionals, and Phil Gillies was talking about this, and I want to let folks know what we say off mic. Heroin used to be the thing, but Fentanyl has replaced heroin in North America. It's still in use and popular in Europe. But North America is awash in fentanyl. It's a synthetic opioid. And it's mostly manufactured in China because they have loose rules. Some have cynically proclaimed that it's the Chinese Communist Party's approach to hurt North America, which it's doing. $30,000 on the factory floor in China gets you $1 million on the street in North America. So that's the kind of money that's involved with organized crime. But fentanyl has been a real demon in terms of killing people. Way more, by far, than heroin was. I don't think a lot of folks know that.
No, that's absolutely right. And to be honest, until we started doing research on this some weeks ago, because our organization, the Ontario Construction Consortium, we are planning a public awareness campaign on this very serious issue. I used to think, as I think a lot of people do, oh, well, the heroin that people are buying on the streets is laced with fentanyl. And I was corrected on this by several doctors who we've consulted with in recent weeks. And they said, no, it's not heroin laced with fentanyl. The drug that is being sold on the street now is fentanyl. So you're absolutely right. It's a new, fairly new, because fentanyl was first noticed becoming an issue in North America back around 2016. So this isn't completely new, but it's certainly gotten an awful lot worse in recent times. You know, another problem is public awareness. So there was an Angus Reid poll done back in pre-pandemic times, so let's say 2019, that indicated that about 42% of the Canadian population was following the opioid crisis to one degree or another and was aware of it, concerned about it, and following it. They went back out and surveyed people again in February of this year, February 2021, and found that that had dropped to about 18% of the population is following the fentanyl opioid situation at all. And it's because everyone is completely consumed with COVID. All of our attention is on COVID. You know, what are the statistics today? What are the regulations right now? When am I going to get my vaccination? And these issues have completely overtaken any sort of focus on the opioid crisis. But the reason I call it the other pandemic is we have a public health situation in the province of Ontario that last year killed 2,500 people. And if that's not a crisis, I don't know what is. We have to be concerned about this, and we have to take steps to correct it.
And the first issue is awareness. If you just joined us, Phil Gillies is the executive director of the Ontario Construction Consortium. And a new report today, this Wednesday, May the 19th, is drug overdoses as a result of opioids is surging to new levels. Opioid-related deaths are going nuts across the country. And the report deals with Ontario. It's entitled Changing Circumstances Surrounding Opioid-Related Deaths in Ontario During the COVID-19 Pandemic. The situation has gotten worse for a couple of reasons. The crazy maker and the isolator that COVID has caused, and the lack of awareness and distraction that COVID has created. The more public awareness on the opioid crisis, the better these people, it could be you, could be your son or daughter, will be. The opioid crisis, moreover, has more greatly impacted the construction sector than any other sector for the working public. So that's why we have Phil Gillies on to discuss. What are some of the solutions to this? I know that, and maybe you want to talk about the upcoming campaign you're doing for public awareness, but let's talk about both of those things. The first step, surely, and I'm trying to help the cause here, this is a big news story, is creating more awareness with regards to that the crisis exists. But tell us maybe a bit about what you think your inclinations are towards the solution, what the health experts are saying, and what you're doing with your campaign.
Well, there's again, there's an awful lot of reaction to today's report from various organizations with a whole range of proposed solutions. The Ontario Harm Reduction Network, for example, is calling for more resources. They want people trained in drug issues and overdose issues in all of the shelters for those people who are having to rely on shelters for housing. And they're calling for increased supervised injection site services where that might be appropriate, and so on. We're still developing the major points that we want to use as a call to arms for our campaign directed at the construction industry. But here's one thing that it may be fairly contentious, but I think this needs to be said. The very advice that we're giving to the general population, isolate, stay at home, don't interact with other people, stay within your bubble, all of that sort of thing. All good advice, of course, for, 99% of the population if we're going to stop the spread of COVID-19. However, staying at home alone and using strong drugs like fentanyl and doing it alone in isolation is absolutely the worst thing you can do as a drug user. There's this a kit that's in wide circulation in clinics and healthcare centers and among drug users called a naloxone kit. And it is something that can bring somebody out of overdose very, very quickly. So if you're using drugs, you go into overdose and somebody else is there with one of these kits, and it's either a nasal spray or an injection. I think more typically in wide circulation is the nasal spray. And administering that very quickly can bring somebody out of addiction, out of overdose and save their life. So there we go. I mean, this has to be part of our messaging upcoming is, yeah, most people stay at home, isolate, don't interact a lot with other people. But if you're using powerful street drugs, don't use alone. Have a friend or somebody close to you in the room. Have a naloxone kit handy in case you go into overdose. Or if you can't do that, go to a supervised injection site and use your drug under proper supervision. So that's one obvious point that we're going to have to make. Additionally to that, we need to get more information out generally to not only to industry people but to the population at large to remind them and reinforce that this crisis is going on. And then, is just one more if I might throw in.
Yep.
If we're going to be advising people to be in the company of another person when they're using their drug or going to a center, in the COVID world, it makes sense that we need to be telling drug users, go out and get your COVID vaccination. It makes it that much safer to be in close proximity to other people if you've been vaccinated.
Phil Gillies, thank you so much for taking time to join us. Phil Gillies is the executive director of the Ontario Construction Consortium. The report released today, entitled Changing Circumstances Surrounding Opioid-Related Deaths in Ontario During the COVID-19 Pandemic, speaks of the surge in opioid deaths across the USA, in every state, and across Canada in every province. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Opioid deaths impacting the construction sector in North America more than any other. Take care, folks. Check me out on Twitter, at Andrew Crystal with a K.
The Harold Green Jewish Theater presents A Moment of Canadian Jewish History.
Born in 1928, Nate Leipziger is one of the world's great Holocaust educators and authors. As a survivor, Nate has led students and prime ministers back to the site of Auschwitz.
6 million people who were innocently murdered, they should not be forgotten, and the world should not forget the horrors of the Holocaust.